I want to thank you for being here tonight and sharing your Christmas Eve, at least a portion of it, with us. I think it's very important for us to reflect and spend time together singing and reflecting upon what this season is all about. And I know that many of you, especially if you're a kid, you probably want to be somewhere else if you're a child. And so I'm glad you're here. And maybe you're an adult and you're like, man, I want to be somewhere else right now, but you're here. And so let's make the most of it. I think we already have through the singing and the messages that were conveyed in that. But I do want to just take a few minutes tonight and remind us that this is Christmas. And this idea of Xmas, and how sometimes in our hearts, especially if you're a believer and have been for some time, when you hear this word Xmas, it kind of sets you off because, you know, the X is a substitute. And so rather than saying the word Christ, we use X. And we've talked about over the last two or three weeks how that actually the X started out being a Christian symbol because it corresponds to the first letter of Christ's name in Greek. And so it didn't start off being a substitute. But nonetheless, we have substituted many things for Christmas. And one of the things that we substitute is we substitute traditions. We substitute empty religion or even false religion. We substitute sometimes the decorations and those things. And they're all good things. I mean, we have our house decorated. We decorated this week. Or actually, I guess at the end of last week, and every day a few more decorations get up, we'll probably be finished by tomorrow in order to take them all down. But you know, the decorations and all that, and if you get a sense of, you put the decorations up and you look forward to Christmas and you look forward to the time off and you do all of these things and then when all that comes down, you just kind of get a sense of, was that it? Was that all there is? And it's just kind of, it's over, it's kind of deflating. If that's happening, and it's happened to me, and sometimes it does happen to me, and it's because I'm looking for something other than Christ. It's because I've substituted the decorations, I've substituted the gifts, I've substituted the time off, I've substituted the activities that we do for Christ, for the X in Christmas. And so I just want us to be reminded of that. You see, Satan always makes a substitute. He always gives us a substitute for the real thing. And so God really wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy things. Now, He knows that Satan has come in and messed that up. But he made this world for us to enjoy. He gave us the resources that we have here to enjoy. But Satan comes in and he perverts it. He perverts everything. He makes some sort of false substitute, some sort of false claim. And thinking about this, I was wondering, like, well, what are some substitutes for real things? And I asked my wife, and she was like, well, you know, sweet and low is a substitute for sugar. And I thought, oh, that's pretty good. It's a pretty good thing. A sweet and low tastes like, it tastes sweet, and it will sweeten your tea, and it's white, kind of looks like. It's a little bit different. But sweet and low is poison, right? We all know that. And so in our family, we kind of joke around about, you know, because we know that Diet Coke or even any kind of soda, really, for that matter, is kind of like poison. And so we'll see, like, you know, and all that's really a substitute for water, which is supposed to be good for us. But we're like, okay, I'll take my my poison flavor like Dr. Pepper, please. You know, I'll take my poison like Diet Coke. And we kind of just point that out. But that's really really what Satan does. As he substitutes, he wants us to substitute things that are similar, but they're not the real thing. And a lot of times, even at Christmas is a great time of year. It's a time to celebrate, and it's a time to you know, remember what Christ has done for us. But oftentimes, the celebration becomes what it's about rather than about Jesus. And the celebration is a shadow of the real thing. It is to point us to the real thing. So all the ornaments, the trees, the songs, the party, the gathering togethers, the eating, all of that is to remind us of Christ. It is to point to Christ, not to substitute for Him. And when we allow those things to substitute for Christ, then we end up empty. We end up somehow wanting more. We end up thinking, well, is this all there is? And then we've got to pay off our credit cards and those sorts of things. Because those things are just substitutes. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He only comes for that. That's like, He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it to the full. And that's kind of His secret right there. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to trick you into following His plan rather than God's plan. And the way He does that is He puts substitutes in your way. Now, when I was a kid, and they still sell this today, and so if you love it, I know it's better today than it was when I was a kid and I drank it. But my Uncle Clarence and Aunt Ruby, they were actually my great uncle and great aunt, I would spend time with them, and they would go to the store. It was a drug store. It's called White Way. There's White Way and White Stores. White Stores was the grocery store. White Way was the drug store. But we would go there, and they would buy soda. But it was Big K. You know Big K? They still have it today, and I'm sure it tastes better today. But back then, Big K, they were like, hey, you know, you're like, you want a Coke? And you wanted a Coke. Like Tennessee's Coke Country up here. It's a little mixed with Pepsi and Coke. But it was like, we'll get you a Coke. But it wasn't Coke. It was Big K. It looked like Coke. It was dark like Coke. It was packaged like Coke. It fizzed like Coke. But it didn't taste like Coke. It was an imitation. It was a substitute for it. And what would happen is it would go flat quicker. It would go flat quicker. It didn't taste as good. And it always gave me heartburn, even as a little kid. It's like that's where I learned how to get heartburn was from Big K soda. I don't know what was in it, but it was a substitute. I think in the 1970s, 1969, sometime during that time frame, actually Coke came out with a slogan called, it's the real thing, or the real thing, and you'll remember that. And that's really kind of an example of what is a much more serious situation when it comes to Satan offering substitutes. The substitutes are they can become the main thing, and they shouldn't, especially at Christmas. At Christmas, it can always be about the celebration, be about the parties, the time off, and those things should not substitute for Christ. And so our main point today is that Christmas is about an experience with Christ that transforms your life. Christmas, what we're going through right now, and I'm not saying it's, you can't have gifts, great gifts. I hope I get some gifts, you know. I've already gotten a few. It's awesome. Already got my peanut butter fudge. Thank you for that. It's not about that. Those things are good so long as they're reminding me of the gift God gave me. So long that they're pointing me towards the real thing. And so Christmas is about an experience with Christ that transforms your life. Now, there's what we read in Scripture today about the shepherds is a good example of a transformation that takes place during the Christmas time. So we're not going to read it again. Bronson read it for us. But I just want to bring your mind to that and let you know that when you experience Jesus, fear becomes great joy. And so there was this situation when the shepherds were out and they're watching their flocks by night, you know, the story we read it, and these angels showed up. And so they were afraid. And a lot of times people say, well, the angels are probably scary looking creatures. They probably were. But the fear is that when God shows up, when God shows up, people know they're unworthy. And so when these angels show up, these shepherds, they know they're in the presence of something heavenly. They don't know what it is, but they're afraid. They're afraid for their life. I mean, by all practical rights, they know that they cannot stand before God because there's sin in their life. And so there's this great fear that's among them. But the angels make an announcement. And they say, hey, don't be afraid. Because we have something for you. We have a message of good news that is for all men. It's going to be great joy. There's great joy in this. Why? Why can their fear be turned to great joy when they're standing in front of heavenly creatures, when they know they're not quite right with God or at all right with God? Why can this fear become joy? Because of the announcement. Because of what the announcement's pointing to. The announcement, they said, because there is a Savior being born. His name is Christ. He's the Messiah. In Matthew, we're told that they call Him Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. And so what's happening here is that the message is pointing to the Messiah. The good news was pointing to the person of the good news, who is the Messiah. And so when you consider the fact that now there's going to be forgiveness, the Messiah is the one who's going to come and forgive sins. He's the one who's going to come and make it possible for us to have a relationship with God. He's the one that's going to defeat the dragon. He's that one. That's good news. And so when your relationship, when you're transformed by Christ, when you're transformed by Him, you no longer have to fear condemnation. When you truly experience Jesus and you truly know what this season is about and who it's pointing to, you don't have to fear being in front of God if you're with Christ, because Christ makes a way for you to be there through the forgiveness of sin. We know that He was born so He could die and pay for our sin. And so when we accept Christ, this one that we celebrate His birth this time of year, when we accept Him and what He did for us, He forgives us of our sin, and now we don't have to fear. We can have joy before God. And it's an amazing thing. That's why we sing. That's why we celebrate. And your celebrations may look different, but that's what it's about. It's a fact that we can have great joy when we stand before God, because we stand forgiven. We stand in the grace of His marvelous Son, Jesus Christ. That's a phenomenal thing. When you experience Jesus, fear becomes great joy. Secondly, when you experience Jesus, rebellion becomes willing obedience. Rebellion in your life becomes willing obedience. That is what we would normally say no to, we want to do. Like, I want to help people now. I want to, what I would normally, I would just be selfish. Now, that's changed in my life. Now, sometimes I'm still a little selfish. God's still working on me, right? Work in progress. But rebellion turns into a willing obedience. And so Satan wants to substitute. He wants us to give us a substitute, something out here that we can choose something other than what God has for us. And again, it leads to death, to steal, kill, and destroy. In this particular case, what happened with the shepherds is, and I never noticed this until this year, they didn't actually have to go to Bethlehem. They're like out in the fields or wherever they are, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angels show up and they tell them this great story about the Messiah coming. And he's going to be, and the angels say, here's a sign for you. They even say, there's a sign. You can go. This is what you'll find. But the shepherds could have said, wow, that's pretty cool. I can't believe that's going on in Jerusalem tonight. I'm just going to stay here and hang out with my sheep. And hopefully we'll get news of what happens. No, but they something changed in their heart. They left their sheep, or they went and parked them outside of Bethlehem somewhere, and they went to find out what happened. It was a change in them, a transformation. That no longer were the sheep the most important thing in their life. No longer was their income or their job or whatever it is they were doing out there in the fields at night. Now, it's to see this thing that was told them. And so there was a transformation. And that's what God does. He transforms us. And that is, a sign was given, and they went to find Him. Thirdly, when you experience Jesus, uncertainty becomes confident witness. Confident witness. It is that when you truly experience Jesus, when you're not believing a substitute, and this is how we can know that we're kind of off base, that we're believing a substitute or relying on our traditions and empty religious activities and things like that, is that we're not confident in our witness. But it says that these men, these shepherds, they went and told everything that had been told to them. They went and found out, then they went and they told it. They shared it with other people. And they were confident. They said that after the shepherds saw the baby, and over it says, it, just like it was told them. Just like it was told them. And they saw it, now all of a sudden they become confident. Because it wasn't just what they were told, they experienced it for themselves. They saw the Messiah. And they went around, they told everybody. They started telling people. There's a confidence in that. And a lot of times we're like, well, I don't know. There's kind of some uncertainty here. And the reason there's uncertainty is because we're not truly surrendered to and submitted to and experiencing Christ. And I know a lot of folks that there's just some uncertainty with them. They wonder, is my relationship right with Christ? They you know, a lot of people want to say, well, I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to get involved. And all those are good things. Please, go to church more, read your Bible more, and get involved more. That's great. But they're not a substitute for knowing Jesus. They're not a substitute. Because when you experience Jesus, He transforms you, and now you know. You know. I don't know because I read it in the Bible. I don't know because I heard it preached. I don't know because I sung about it in songs. I know because He lives in me. I know because I've experienced a change in my life. I know that He's changed my desires. He's given me joy. He's given me hope. And that's what this is about. And so if your experience and if your Christmas is leading you to not experience that, to not have a confidence in your witness to say, man, I know because I've experienced God. He's changed my life. I know Jesus because He lives inside of me through His Spirit. Then I want to encourage you to press into Him. And when you experience Jesus, the motions become authentic worship. A lot of times in my life, I just went to church. Like, you might be here tonight, you might have been drugged. Or my kids, I don't know if they were willing participants or not. I've been here all day. But sometimes we just come, we go through the motions. We sing our songs, we give our tithe, we listen to the message, we pray. We're just going through the motions. And what we see here with these shepherds is that it changed them so much that they started worshiping God. It says that they went home. They left that place rejoicing. And their rejoicing probably looked a little different than Mary's. The Bible says that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. But there was a worship from the heart with her. With these guys, they're out there just praising God for what He's done. And so if our Christmas experience, whatever that looks like for you, whatever your family traditions are, part of that, I guess, is being here tonight. I'm so happy. But if all of this does not result in authentic worship, where you're just poured out and surrendered to Christ, where you're praising Him for what He's done, then it could be that the celebration has become a substitute for Christ. It could be that all it's about is the activities that we do, the songs that we... This, even the songs, is pointing to someone. Someone who is the only one worthy, the only one to adore. So, as we look at this, Christmas is not about traditions, although they're fine. It's not about parties, although they're fine. It's not about services, although they're fine. All of this points to Jesus. Christmas is about being transformed by Christ. It's about an experience that changes our lives. And so here, as we saw for X, there's a few things here. I want to say X is not devotion. A lot of times in my life, I'm like, I'm going to be devoted. I'm devoted. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to read my Bible. All of those things we just talked about. I'm going to do that. It's about devotion. And really, the whole point of the gospel is that I can't be devoted. The whole reason I need Jesus is because I can't be devoted. Christ calls for surrender and for trust. It's not up to me. It's up to Him. And He did what I couldn't do. He lived a perfect life. And He even died for me and gave me His perfection so that I can be forgiven. It's not about our religious devotion. It's not about how religious you are. Religion is a great thing when it points to God, when it leads us to Him, when it leads us to forgiveness and sanctification and encouragement and correction and those things. But when it's empty and it just becomes the activities that we do that cause us to feel good about ourselves and what we've done, it is missing the point. Secondly, the X in Christmas is not a celebration. The celebrations are good. We talked about it. But it's not that. The X in Christmas is Jesus Christ. Everything that we're doing, everything that you do, find a way to let that point to Christ. And maybe you're here today and you're like, well, you know, I've never really thought about why we do what we do. Maybe you just kind of grew into the traditions. You've been doing them for years and it's just kind of been a part of what you do. And maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, you know, am I truly experiencing Christ? Am I being transformed by Him? Has He transformed my life? And however you answer that, there's always room. There's always opportunity to trust Him more. And you may be hearing you say, well, you know, I look at this and maybe my life's not quite right. I've got some things in my life. I've got these traditions, they've substituted for Christ. I realize they're substitutes. I go through the motions, but I don't quite truly experience Him. I'm not transformed by Him. Well, that's what this is about. And so there's an opportunity for you because you can always look to Christ. He's there. He says if you seek Him, you'll find Him. If you knock, He will answer. He says that He stands at the door and knocks, and if anyone opens the door, He will come in. So He's there. And so even now in this Christmas season, regardless of what's happened, what's going to happen coming up in the next few hours, there's an opportunity for us to change our lives and to be transformed by Christ through what He's done. So I want to say that the way that we know that we've been transformed is that our worship is authentic. So when we sing the songs, when we pray, we're not just hoping the prayers go through. We're not just hoping, just singing words. We're connected to the Lord. And so if you maybe sang tonight and you just weren't connected. Maybe your worship, maybe you haven't felt like it's been authentic, but you want it to be. You can call out to God tonight and say, Lord, I want to worship You. You might not have it figured out. You might not know all the things there is to know. You might be a very religious person and have gone and done all sorts of things and be very active in the church, but you know that maybe you're not connected. Tonight, today, whatever time of day it is, all you need to do is call out to God and say, I want to know you. I want to worship you. I love you. I want to serve you. And He will come and He'll meet you where you are, and He'll transform your life. Let's pray. Father God, as we bow before You tonight, I just ask You, Lord, that You would help us to not, Lord, worship the shadow. Lord, not be excited about the substitute or the things that point us to You, dear Lord, but we would be excited about You. Lord, that all of these things that are involved in this season, from giving gifts to singing songs to going to church to eating together, all of these things are to point us to You. You are our provision. You are our celebration. You are our great news. You, Father, in Christ. And Lord, if there's anyone here, maybe they're listening online or they're here, and Lord, they've never surrendered their life to You. Maybe they've been very devoted, maybe not devoted at all. But Lord, You stand there with Your arms open, saying You surrender. They can surrender to You. I pray today would be the day that they do that. That they trust You and what You've done and who You are. And they begin to worship You and be transformed by You. And we pray this, dear Lord, not because of anything that we've done, but because of only what You've done in Christ. And I pray, dear Lord, that every single home here would find a way in the coming hours to let their families know that they're worshiping You. And I pray, dear Lord, that would transform our lives, because we know it will. And we pray it in Christ's name.